To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its sponsors, Christy Doherty and Mia Hansen Aloha, and our very special super subscriber sponsor, Miss Madonna Hines, Madge with a sexy J. We love you, girls. Hello, and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Caron from Trash Talk TV, the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast, and the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills audiobooks on iTunes. And I'm with the gorgeous, talented, thin and voluptuous at the same time, Ben Mandelka of the B-Side blog and the Banter Blender. You know why I said voluptuous? Because I'm looking at your gorgeous, smooth cheeks right now on my Skype window.
Oh, with that picture, my Skype picture is like literally from 2009, back when I...
You're so adorable. Your eyes are boring into my soul from Skype. Oh,
good. To see more pictures of me and Ronnie, to have your skull be bored into by our eyes, everyone should follow our Instagram page. It's or account. It's Watch What Crappens. It's as simple as that. Come follow us. Be part of our movement.
It is as simple as that, you guys. Totally is
it. It's as simple as that.
So everybody, welcome to today's show. We're going to be talking about the Married to Medicine reunion and
yes.
Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yes. What an explosive episode. Thank you for being patient and waiting till Thursday to listen to this episode. We're changing around our schedule a little bit. So thank you for bearing with us. We hope that... I don't know what we hope for.
You know what?
We just have hope.
Like
just
we're running hope. For office. Like we're not going to be specific. Just have general hope.
Okay, we hope that you're able to pass the time by getting your pussies eaten out as well. Okay.
I started my notes on this episode by saying, "Who said that? How can they top that?" That's what
How
I
could
wrote.
They top it?
And they did.
How could they top it? They did.
They shockingly did. You have to hand it to the Real Housewives of Atlanta. I mean, they break down so many barriers. I don't think we've ever had a pussy fight like this.
Not like this. Not like this. I mean, we've had situations where there are lesbian rumors. There's been some, cunnilingus rumors. We even saw it as recently as on Vanderpump Rules at the start of that season, where Jax was spreading rumors about his own girlfriend going down on Kristen, or maybe it was the other way around. But never have we seen people involving themselves in rumors and having a head-to-head confrontation over who wants to eat out whose pussy first.
So, in other words, well done, Real Housewives of Atlanta. Well done.
Basically, if you have kids nearby, earmuffs. Emphasis on muffs.
Yeah. Who want to eat my earmuffs?
And by the way, if you go to our Instagram page, we have a clip of that seminal scene on the page right now.
You want to eat my pussy till I can't. Who
want to eat your motherfucking pussy?
I just like that music meeting. They're like, okay, this is the big pussy moment. We need something special. They're like, can't we just use the dong, da dong, dong, dong? No. Needs to be special. Preferably, like, feet stamping and hands clapping. Like a pussy. Okay. And, the biggest pussy you've ever seen in your life. We want that clapping. It's like, boom, boom, chee, chee, boom, chee, chee. Yes.
And let's make sure, by the way, let's make sure we juxtapose Candy's pussy eating controversy with Riley's big moment singing and the debut of her single. Let's make sure that Riley and Candy both get their moments together.
Stop tapping your desk, goddammit.
Sorry. Oh, my God. Why is my mic
I'm
so
I'm
going
to get you a desk pillow.
That's so sweet of you.
Isn't that so nice, Ben?
So nice.
God, I gave it to you almost as well as Portia offered to give it to Candy.
Yes, allegedly. Oh, man.
Allegedly. All right, well, let's get on with her, shall we?
Yeah, so the episode starts. We're still on the glamping trip, like, a little bit. They're all in the forest, and Candy is annoyed from the previous night's, who said that? Who said that? Who said that?
Who said that?
Who said that?
So
she's like, see, now, Riley, give me a car now, Riley, so I can drive home on my own. So she's driving home from glamping in her own car, and she takes Hazel with her, and you can sort of see the sadness in Hazel's eyes. She's like, but I want to be on the bus with all the ladies and the cameras so I can have a moment. She's like, see, now, Hazel, come on over with me.
But I wanted another chance to say what I'm going to ask Marlo. Hazel's only thing.
They're like, Hazel, you have just been too out of control this trip. We need to take you home in your own car. I mean, you will just not shut up unless you are isolated from the group. But
who's Marlo and what should I ask her? Hazel, get in the car, Hazel. Get in the car.
Well, I guess now would be a really good time for me to share something deeply personal about myself. I've never told anyone this, but then it just like cuts to someone else. Anyway.
She's like, Marlo, can I ask you something? Why do they keep cutting away from me?
Let Uncle Marlo give you a hug, honey.
Marlo's like, did you hear a rustling in the trees? What was that noise over there? I think it was Hazel. No. I think it was a quail.
So Sheree, they've now named Sheree the Bone Collector, which she's actually wearing with pride.
Yes.
She's like, well, as a bone collector, I'm still digging for bones, waiting for fate to admit it. Because if that was my friend. If that was my friend, if that was me and my best friend, no doubt my best friend would have tried to save me. I'm like, really? Who is this best friend? And why have we never seen her after all these years on this show? Because you don't have one, because you keep doing shit like this, Sheree.
I know. Her best friend is America. That's who her best friend is, because I think all of America loves Sheree.
I sure do.
I loved also when Candy was leaving with Hazel, Cynthia had a really good zinger. She's like, if any of the ladies in this group are that upset about anything and you decide you just want to leave and walk away from the situation, then I say, please leave and just walk away from the situation. Oh, good one, Cynthia. Good one.
Yeah, glad you're still here.
Here's what I always say. If you've got an attitude and you want to walk away, then I say, you walk away.
I'm like, come on, Cynthia. You're not even putting on a new wig to say that. Like, at least usually she's like, I'm going to say this in a Ronald McDonald braided wig. Like, okay, red wig. Like, she didn't even pull out a new wig for that. Come on, Cynthia, you're slipping.
So they all drive home in the bus, and they're all kind of like laughing about the lesbian stuff last night and talking about how Portia was like, who said that? Who said that? And then it turns out that she was the one at the butt of all the rumors. But then what I loved is that after that bus scene, they show a shot of Cynthia struggling to get down her driveway with her luggage. I was like, damn. I was like, you even have to copy Kenya's driveway bit? Like, that's – come on now, Cynthia.
Right before she tries to take Nene's I'm taking my husband back storyline. No, Cynthia. Yeah. So sad. I also like on that bus that Portia's just laughing. She's like, I was like, who said that? And then I remember, but I had to stick with it. And Kenya is loving Portia suddenly. Did you notice that? Kenya was just laughing and she's like, you are hilarious, girl. I was like, well, nothing to make a friendship work on this show by focusing the hate somewhere else.
Well, it's funny because on this show, it's always really hard to track who is friends with who at what time. I mean, it's almost like there was a season of Survivor a few seasons ago where they talked about they're always voting in blocks. They didn't have alliances. They just had voting blocks that would shift every week. And that's what this show is. You know, at any given moment, you know, right now we know that Phaedra and Candy are at odds, but we don't really know where anyone else stands. They're always fighting with each other, and it just changes from week to week.
Yeah. And they go hard on each other. And then they're like, okay, yeah. I forgive you.
Yeah.
Let's go not eat lunch somewhere. I've never seen a Housewives show where they don't eat lunch as much as these people. They always go to lunch and they never eat. And they bring their own shit to lunch. Like, Portia brought her own water bottle, which we'll get to. But then you never even get to see them eat. Well, Candy.
Candy does. Candy's like, see, now, lunch. I gotta have my lunch today because Riley is gonna be hungry later and I wanna have full attention. No, Riley, gonna be singing a song later, and I'm hungry now, so I gotta have lunch.
So Cynthia's house. So she rolls her suitcase down the hill, and she's like, "Guys, there was no cell phones or internet or clean water." And Noelle's like bored. So they start talking. She starts telling them about the lesbian stuff, and she's like, "Her friend is over," and she's like, "Well, no, what's the Cynthia's definition assistant. Of lesbian?" She goes, "Wait, who was it?"
Is Cynthia's assistant.
Oh, she goes, "Well, what's the definition of lesbian?" And Cynthia goes, "Well, God, after we got into it, I'm a lesbian. I mean, the way these ladies are making it sound like if you've even experimented one time, you're a lesbian." And Noelle's like, what?
Yeah. She's like, you know, I think the definition is where you've been, like, when you've kissed a woman or where a woman has kissed you. I think that's the definition. And I think it also includes if you've kissed someone who looks a lot like Papa Smurf. I think that makes you a lesbian. Oh, I'm sorry. That's what turns you into a lesbian. Never mind.
She's like taking Folgers labels and pasting them, you know, pasting Peter's face on. That's what lesbians do. That's what I learned today. I'm like, you've learned nothing today, Cynthia.
Noelle is skeeved out. She's like, I can't believe I have to have this conversation with my mother on national television right now. And why do we? And she's like, and another thing, mother, why do the Chirons keep referring to this as Cynthia's lake house? It's just your house. Just your house. Just say Cynthia's house.
Cynthia's house. Cynthia's lake house. Probably just so Sheree will be scared every time she sees it. They're dirty. The house has yeast infection. I'm going in the house.
They got a flood in the backyard. You see that? That's a big old flood. It's a lake, Sheree. You got a lake. You got flood. You got pipes.
And the countdown begins for Sheree to call that house a yeast infected hellhole.
Swamp.
So, Candy Factory, yes. They pretend they're talking hilarious. About work and stuff. And Todd's like, hey, babe.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome back, babe. Whoa.
Hey, babe. Okay, sorry. I guess I have to get in that chair that makes me look smaller. Okay.
And so, Kwame's there because whenever there is some kind of big news they need a squished up, shocked face for, they just call Kwame. They're like, the lunch is here. He's like, oh! That's what his face is saying. Oh! At all times. Yeah,
I love Kwame. Kwame's my favorite of
is
that group.
Always like shocked and disgusted at the same time.
Well, because I feel like he is the only one outside of Candy who actually like can be a professional.
Works.
And so he's always like shocked when something's just like ridiculousness happening at the workplace.
But he started that way. She's like, well, see, hi, everybody. And he's like,
she's like, see, no, meeting, Riley. Getting the recording with Riley while we have a meeting. See, now, time to talk. We was at glamping and Phaedra was quiet.
Look, Candy's telling them this story and just going off. And she's like, I do not have to defend my sexuality. I talk sex on the internet. I have an adult toy line. Hello.
Yeah. So Candy's like sitting there. Everyone's, you know, Don Juan and Carmen are like, okay, this is getting interesting. And Candy was the one who's like, see, now, Porsche. It's weird. I can only do it with Riley. I can't do like Porsche. See, now, Riley, go get Porsche. Because Porsche and I, we went down on each other and Todd was there. And everyone's like, whoa.
Wait, did she say that?
She said that there wasn't, you know, that she and I don't know if they actually went. I think they went down on each other.
No, she just said, I've had my own experience with her, Todd. And Todd was like,
Todd
I was there.
Oh, yeah.
And she said it was an after hours spot. And Portia was in front of her and Todd was behind her. And then she started making out with her. And then she said, and Carmen's like, did you stick your tongue out? like grossed out. And Candy's like, yes. And then she said she wanted to eat me out until I came. And they're like, what?
I mean, I would be like that too. Because, you know, I mean, you have to, I mean, like, Candy is basically fully implicating herself in this thing. She's like, okay, well, if there's a rumor about me, then fine. But now you're going to get the full story because I don't care about this rumor. But now I'm going to drag Portia into it. And I love when Candy's like, ain't nothing about me in the closet. You may be in the closet, and that's what we have to discuss. And it's like, I just love it. It's like, oh, Candy just took this rumor and turns it around and put it straight on you.
And then here's why Todd loves Candy the most. Like, he gets some lesbian action at this club.
Oh, what? Yeah. I said money, but go on.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure she paid for it. But yeah, they go to this club. They get freaky with Portia. And then he goes, and then after, remember we went to the Waffle House.
Yeah. Well, I love when Don Juan's like, Portia was like, well, I can't eat what I really want to eat, so I guess I might as well have this waffle. That made me laugh. That was the funniest thing Don Juan has ever said.
So funny. Now, just a lesson to housewives out there. This is why you don't go to the mat for your girls. Because the whole conversation, yes, Portia did say things. She's guilty. But this started with Phaedra.
Yeah.
Like, Phaedra's really the villain in this one. And yeah. Portia didn't even say anything. I mean, she kind of did.
Well, she kind of did.
She was like, well, Phaedra's there. But she didn't really lay it on Phaedra.
Well, she made that. Have. She could have. And she also, Portia did make that comment about Candy being in the closet. So, you know, she did. She still muddied it. It wasn't all Phaedra. But that being said, I mean, Phaedra did escape scot clean. For now, the reunion will tell a different story.
Yeah. So Cynthia and Kenya go. Kenya is getting with vaginal work done on Cynthia.
Yeah. Right.
The Snatch Factory, I wrote down.
Yeah. With Dr. Curves, unfortunately.
Yeah. This is like Dr., you know, Snail Bottoms or whatever. So they go in there to get Cynthia rejuvenated. And that's exciting. Can we just skip that part?
I did laugh when Cynthia said that she was afraid she would be orgasming every time she hit a speed bump. A lot of vaginal stuff happening this episode.
No, she didn't say she's the lady said you're going to be juicier.
Well, oh, right.
Well, is that what that meant?
It's like, but I thought that Cynthia was basically being like, either way, I just like the idea that every time Cynthia hit a speed bump, something was going to happen down there.
I like when Kenya was like, no, I haven't had this. I'm a young woman with no children and few lovers. Like you.
I think she said that last part, though, with like a wink. Cynthia, I liked when they shot the laser into Cynthia's badge, and then the editors just cut to flowers and butterflies, like flowers blooming and butterflies spreading their wings. That was a nice touch. That was very reminiscent of Naked Gun 2.5 when Frank Drebin has sex with Priscilla Presley and they cut to like a train going into a tunnel and flowers and similar things.
Stop
fireworks.
Tapping the table.
I'm sorry.
Tap your leg.
I can't. I'm not. You know what's funny? I'm just because I'm doing. You hear this? You hear this right here?
Yes.
That's insane. I don't even hear it right here. Oh my goodness. I got to find a towel or something. Gotta find put something under this.
You're not the only one. This is a perfect scene to go find a towel. So let's see. Phaedra drives up. Okay, now they now this show just goes crazy. I don't know what
I know what you're gonna talk about. This was made no sense.
So Phaedra drives up to her lawyer's office and they're playing some song. It's like, I'm the master of my own fate. And Phaedra comes out. She drives up in slow motion. And then it's a really long shot of Phaedra walking in slow motion. Yeah. What the fuck?
It was like a John Woo movie. I was expecting some doves to come out and maybe Phaedra to take out like a giant shotgun or something like that. I was like, what is happening? It's like this big slow motion moment of Phaedra. You know, when you have a big slow-mo entrance, it's like you're about to do something really empowering and strong. And then she just shows up at Ronnie Kaplan's office for divorce. Ronnie Kaplan family law.
Accidentes, divorce, whatever. I'm Ronnie Kaplan.
I'm Ronnie Kaplan. Look, I put up a giant banner that says Kaplan Family Law so you can see it on TV.
So she comes all the way there for the lawyer to be like, I just wanted you to know your divorce is final. And Phaedra puts a Kleenex on her eye. And I'm like, well, you got a booger coming out of there? Because it ain't a tear.
Yeah, there was no tear coming. You can't do a preemptive swipe, okay? You got to wait for the tears to come first.
You trying to keep your colored contact in there or what? Because that is not a tear, lady.
So many emotions at Kaplan Family Law. We're used to it.
Yeah, I know it's been a tough road, but now it's time for you to focus on life post-divorce. I'm like, what do you think she's been doing for the past 6 years?
She's literally dating someone named Chocolate.
How much more laser focus do you need, okay? Have you seen this woman's iCal?
She's got so much laser focus, she could rejuvenate Cynthia's vagina.
She's got so much laser focus, Cynthia just went over a speed bump and splooged the car seat.
So, yes.
Phaedra pulls her, well, I've been with Apollo, I've known him for 22 years, and it's very important to me that the children see Apollo, and I'll go tell him myself, because I would hate for him to have to hear. I'm like, yes, Phaedra, yes, we all believe you.
Yeah. And then we have like a montage of, remember the happier days when Phaedra and Apollo were taking photos, eating the same pickle? It's like, yes, those were the days.
Remember the pickle sex pics? And then that time Apollo ran throughout the house with a nail gun threatening to turn her into a door or whatever.
But we sort of didn't mind because it sort of made him sexier because he's really been the sexiest person who's ever shown up on The Housewives.
I know. He sure did get ugly towards the end, though. Yeah. Because I think, you know, running around with a screw gun makes you, I don't know, just aggressively... It just made him
a little too aggro, a little too Lifetime movie-ish. Like I like Apollo's aggression when it's kind of just like an untamed animal at a pajama party going after the local gay.
Yes,
that's exactly. Like a little bit more like a classic, you know, porn storyline.
Isn't that funny to think he's getting so many gay blowjobs right now?
So like, many.
He must be thinking that. He must be like, wow, how the tides turns.
I mean, he's probably just, like, running that prison right now. It's just, like, everyone's lining up, bending over, or getting on their knees for Apollo. And you know what? I don't blame those prisoners. He's really hot.
No kidding. Hopefully he's versatile. So then Phaedra leaves in slow motion. The slow motion thing was super weird. I wish they had Kaplan standing there like,
you can see me, Ronnie Kaplan, on the season of The Good Fight.
P.S. The Good Fight is really good.
People are saying it's amazing. My parents literally bought an Apple TV so that they could watch The Good Fight. Of course, it's not even hooked up, and they're still very confused about the whole process, but it still motivated them to get an Apple TV.
The Good Fight is The Good Wife without Juliana Margulies, but it's so good. I miss The Good Wife. I love that show.
But don't you have to have a subscription to CBS All Access to watch The Good Fight, or do you not have to?
Well, they showed the first one on regular TV.
Really?
Yeah, just to get people hooked, and then they're going to start showing it online now. So, yeah, you have to from now on, but I ain't doing that. I'll catch it when it's, I don't know, sold. Because I heard that when you buy the CBS online thing, you still have to sit through commercials. So what's the point? I'm going to pay you to watch your commercials? Fuck off.
Yeah, I say a big fuck off to that. Big fuck off. I mean, not even the appeal of Christine Baranski can make me do that. And honestly, I didn't watch Big Brother Over the Top, and y'all know I'm a big Brother fan, and if I'm not even watching a season of Big Brother, then you know there's a problem with their system.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I am kind of a fan of the idea of all the networks just going digital, and you can pay $4 or whatever for the networks, but they have to do it like DVR, where you can fast forward through it or not. Like, it should be your choice whether or not you're going to sit there. Sometimes you have commercials playing while you're cleaning the kitchen, you know?
Right.
I shouldn't be forced to watch your damn commercials. No, I'm not going to do it.
If you're paying a subscription, you should not have to pay for commercials. I agree. Yeah,
you guys can suck a dick. And until this show Unless comes out hire in a way I can buy it without commercials, I will just watch The Ref over and over again because that's my favorite Christine Baranski anyway.
I don't know what my favorite Christine Baranski is. I mean, I did enjoy – she was in The Birdcage, wasn't she? She was really great in that, I seem to remember.
Yeah, she's been in so many movies. The Ref is my favorite.
My favorite is Bowfinger. That's one of my favorite movies, and Christine Baranski is so funny in that one.
Bowfinger?
I think we've talked about Bowfinger. It's with Steve Martin and Eddie Murphy. It's a movie where Steve Martin is like a shitty director, and he gets financing for his movie by saying that Eddie Murphy's character plays basically Eddie Murphy, like a huge superstar. And he lies and he says that Eddie Murphy is attached to his movie. And so what they decide to do is they film the movie with like around Eddie Murphy without him realizing he's in the movie. So they like have the actors walk up to him and say things to him while he's like sitting at a restaurant eating. And so Christine Baranski plays an actress who's like a thespian who's Shakespearean, has studied at the Royal Shakespeare Theater, but not really. She's actually like a shitty actress who likes to think of herself like that. And so she's like walking up. It's this alien. The plot of Steve Martin's movie is this alien movie. And she like walks up to Eddie Murphy in a cafe. Is like, she just says something ridiculous. Like you are like an awful man, awful man. She like throws water on his face. And it's just like, I'm doing a terrible disservice to the movie because I haven't seen it in like 15 years. But it is such a funny movie. And Heather Graham plays a woman who just like sleeps her way to the top. It's great.
Yeah, where'd Heather Graham go?
I don't know. She should do Bowfinger
too. Christine Baranski, never leave me. Never leave me.
Never. I love her. Everyone watch Bowfinger. It's so good. I'm going to watch it again.
Okay. Looking at my notes.
So speaking of
Bowfinger,
the entertainment industry.
Speaking of tricking somebody into being in something, let's go see Riley.
So we love Riley. We're some of Riley's biggest fans. And we know that she's wanted to be a singer for a few years now. Candy built a little stage in her bedroom. And this is Riley's big moment. Her first, like, she's gonna go sing a song in the studio. And Candy's written a song where she's taken a lot of those emotions from Riley and Block and all that stuff. And we can see Riley is nervous and shy. She's like, I don't want to do it anymore. But Candy's like, girl, see now, Riley in the studio booth. So Riley gets in there, and I mean, how do we say it? I mean, how do we break the news to America? How do we this lovely, sweet 14-year-old girl? How do we break the news that maybe there are other careers out there for her? First of all, she looks so bored. I've never seen someone look so bored. I mean, we've seen a lot of reality shows where people want to be singers. They get in the booth and they like try to be singers, and even if they don't sound great, they at least like try. But Riley was like, you didn't call, you didn't say, you didn't come see me. I was like, Riley, come on. And again, he's like, see,
yeah, that
no.
was not Riley. Riley. I mean, Riley was definitely like, Dad, you're my dad. Am I done yet, Mom? No, Riley. Dad. I was like, can they work a sigh into this song? Because the song needs Riley sighs. It's making the whole song.
Yeah, I would actually just be fine with a remix of her sighs. Like,
but then they played it back, and she sounded a lot better on playback in her defense. And also, she was just learning it, so maybe it turned out really good. You posted it on our Facebook. What did it sound like? Still that?
I mean, I can bring it up here on iTunes. It's yeah, just play it's a little. Not. Let me go find it on iTunes. I'm going to find it. It's like Riley, Burris. It's two R's, two S's, I think, right?
Yeah.
See? Oh, Riley Burris.
Dad, you forgot my birthday, Dad.
Listen, she is a young, beautiful girl on the path to something great, but I don't know if her path has gotten to that place yet.
So well, also, this is like a TV show, so she's embarrassed, and she doesn't want to be shot. She feels stupid. It's like when your mom at a dinner party is like, sing, honey! I'm like, yeah, everyone wants to hear me sing like Liza Minnelli at your fucking junior league dinner party. Like, God, Mom! But you
Here's a clip of Better Late Than Never. I'm pressing play from the iTunes store.
Gonna pop up when I got my block up. Is it the grammar reality? My mama what they say.
It's what they say.
So I guess I have to forgive ya. Even though you missed my birthday, I'm forgiving you even though you hurt me.
I can't anymore.
That sounded better than it did on the show, though.
It did sound better, but...
Look, you're anyway, no Melissa Gorga.
Anyway, the good news is the song, I think it's selling nicely.
I love you, Riley.
We love you, Riley, and that's all we have to say about it.
I'll continue not buying them, but I love you the same, girl. I ain't even paying for the good wife, girl.
Yeah, you know what? It's each their own, and it's she's doing... You know what? We're just happy for... If Riley's happy, we're happy. If Riley is happy, we're happy.
They're down the wall.
Oh,
so now, Porsche's in the attic. Dun, dun, dun.
I want to sleep with my brother.
They need a good flowers in the attic with Porsche as the star.
My sister tried to eat my pussy.
Whoa. Whoa. We need this to be more subtle, okay? This is a teen book.
Yeah. So, as Phaedra's visiting Portia's new home, which looks exactly like her last home, which looks exactly like the home before that and the one before that. They just all look the same. I don't even know why we need to have like a little crib style moment where the camera goes up the stairs. Like, ooh, and this is what the staircase looks like. It's all the same.
I think they were all designed by the same person who dreams of being in politics. Because all of them are like huge columns and marble floors and ceilings like a mall with statuesque. I'm like, what office did this Mick designer Mansion. Not win? But they're like trying to make up for now.
City council. So we get a little like a small tour, and then Phaedra and Portia, they come in, they sit down, and they're talking. Phaedra has brought Portia some Hennessy for her housewarming gift. And Phaedra's like, ooh, Paula's reaction was not good to hear about the divorce. I'm like, what? Why? How could it? How could he even be surprised that the divorce is final? I guess that was the point of the scene, right?
Well, like, he didn't want it, so I think he thought that he could stop it. So,
but he has a girlfriend.
I know. Well, that's a man for you.
Yeah.
It's like, how dare you divorce me? What am I going to tell my girlfriend? That's exactly such a man. Right. But I love that Phaedra comes over, and she's trying to do her sad Phaedra thing, but she's like, here's a drink, girl. Yes, girl, party! Well, Apollo's very sad. Like, you can't have it both ways, Phaedra, okay?
Pick one.
You're not in slow motion right now.
Oh, God. Yeah, so they just sort of talked about that.
And then, let's see. Yeah, and then she goes, she's like, he's very upset. It's very upsetting. I'm going to have to tell the children. And then Portia's like,
yeah, but it's going to be so good now because you can start a new chapter, a dick chapter. And she's like, oh, girl, oh, I'm going to be bouncing like a pogo stick.
And then she does that gesture with like dicks all over her face.
I somehow feel like I missed this. I think I was like looking at the wrought iron banisters still.
Really? It was so good. The end of the scene is just Phaedra dancing around like she's taking 20 dicks at a time.
I'm surprised Ridiculous didn't just burst in right then and there. So speak about Ridiculous. We then go to Cynthia Bailey's office for the Cynthia Bailey eyewear/cargo fashion show planning meeting. And Cynthia wants Cairo, Sheree's son, to walk in the show, which I fully support. And so Sheree comes in, and because Sheree is Cairo's momager. And I love that when Sheree walks in and Cynthia introduces Sheree to her business partner, Sheree shakes his hand like a sailor. She's like, well, how do you do? And she's like, boom, 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 boom. You see the guy's like arm about to like come breaking off.
So she's Cynthia like, ow, explains ow, to ow. Her, she's like, well, we would. I love when Cynthia tries to be all professional. She's like, as you might notice, I'm wearing glasses today.
What has transpired is...
We would like Cairo to walk in the humongous cargo show. It's a huge, biggest show in town. And Sheree is like, you got compensation?
She goes, like,
no.
Yeah. If there's one thing I've learned from Peter, it's that you swindle everyone around you.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, no, there's no compensation. And Sheree's like, you ain't going to throw these kids $500? No, she goes, you ain't going to throw these kids $100?
Cynthia's like, we can give them a backpack. But listen, the exposure is everything. Like, we have this amazing venue. It's under a highway next to a place that Martin Luther King's dog once went to. And it's in the former space of one of Peter's clubs. So it's got like a really cool, decrepit look.
Yeah, it smells like coffee and urine. It's going to be great. It's all the rage.
There's a squirrel. You'll love him.
There's still a large picture of me as the background. Large painting of me.
We'll give you VIP seating in the sinkhole.
And Sheree's like, okay, well, I would prefer a weekend because school is still very important to Cairo.
That I was like, I don't know who is more ridiculous in this situation. The woman offering compensation in the form of a book bag or Sheree asking the fashion show to be moved so that way her model son could go to class.
Or a Cynthia's response.
Yes.
Back in the day, I never would have called Ralph Lauren up and said, Ralph Lauren, that time doesn't work for me.
That, I believe, is a false equivalency, is it not?
That's you, ma'am, efficient. Or no Ralph Lauren. Okay. I'm sorry. You're maybe like Ralphie from It's a Christmas Story or whatever.
You're maybe like Ralph as in vomit. Like you vomited on someone named Lauren. Ralph. You're basically like
you're
the dog
Muppet
playing
dog.
A piano. Yeah. Playing that shitty little honky-tonk piano.
Now, he would work for a backpack.
Ralph. He would. He would.
Have been happy
but you notice how no one ever really loves Ralph. Like, no one ever is like, oh, I need to have my... Like, people have, like, their Fozzie Bear toys and their Kermits and their Gonzos and Miss Piggy, but no one ever is like, oh, here's my Ralph.
Ralph always looks matted and dirty.
He's
know
like
how people say there
annoying.
Is no such thing as an ugly dog? Ralph.
Yeah, Ralph.
He's not cute. Ralph. Not cute.
You know, he actually, to me, is like one of the least charismatic Muppets out there. I'll just say it.
Because they just use him as a music player, you know? They don't even let him ever do anything. They're like, Ralph, what are you doing here? Just sit behind the piano like you're supposed to. You don't have any lines. And he's like, okay.
At least be fun like Janice or Dr. What's-His-Face or Animal.
Yeah, or the one who gets to go... Bop, 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 bop. I'm like, whoever gets to play that instrument, you know, those people who play instruments are fun.
Yeah, or the green guy with the little hat with the saxophone. I mean, he's great.
Oh,
in his silence, in his steely silence. He's so quiet. I just wonder what he's thinking all the time. Makes me attracted to him.
kind of like Portia's thinking about Todd.
Yeah, I actually really like Portia and Todd. I think maybe it's because Todd is so cute. He's probably like a total asshole, but he's got such a cute smile, and he knows how to like play a woman. So therefore, I'm just like, oh, Todd.
I love you. He brings her, they go to lunch or something, and he brings
like
her a necklace gift.
Yeah.
And grain. Only in Atlanta could you name something grain. You couldn't do that here. People would be like, ew, gluten.
I'm not on a grain diet.
I will not eat at a place called Grain. Are you trying to kill my children? So he brings her a diamond necklace, which is, you know, from Claire's. He's unemployed. But she's like,
well, he thinks he can win me over with diamonds.
Like, those are not diamonds, but keep on. Portia.
Yeah, it was gold. That's fine. she's like, he can't do that. I mean, he did win me over with diamonds, but... He still has to be a man. I like the diamonds, but you can't, not diamonds alone.
Like, what are you talking about, Portia?
The waiter's like, can I take your order? And she goes,
well, he needs some truth serum.
Like, he never lied to you. He told you the truth. You're mad at his truth. You're not
like
mad at his lie.
The waiter didn't miss a beat. He's like, well, we do have an old fashioned. She's like,
no, I want a modern man.
No, it's actually the name of a cocktail.
Ow.
Oh, yeah, I want an old-fashioned man, the kind who will pay my bills and pay for my house.
He's like, it's just a drink.
All right. We do have a Tom Collins.
Who's that? Is he cute?
He played football.
Can we offer you a Harvey Wallbanger?
Ooh, he sounds nice.
I used to know a girl like that when I was in jail one time overnight.
Maybe you would prefer just something simple like a screwdriver.
What? I'm not going to build nothing.
My girl Phaedra almost got killed that way. No. You got water?
So they start having this relationship talk where Todd just knows he's never going to get a word in edgewise, you know? He's like, whatever. Yell it, just say whatever you need so this can be over. And she's like,
well, I didn't even want to be in a relationship, Todd. When I looked you up on Facebook and forced you to come out with me and give me your sperm to build a baby, you sold me into it. And I had a vision.
I'm like, I don't know what the hell kind of strong woman monologue you're coming on to right now. But finding an ex on Facebook and trying to force sperm out of his nuts to make a baby that he's probably going to have to support the rest of his life is kind of forcing a relationship on someone, Portia.
Yeah.
Like, hello.
I like she's like, see, the difference is I'm present in the relationship. I'm like, just because you received a present doesn't mean that you are present.
I don't know where you are, but I got a diamond necklace in this relationship.
Actually, believe it or not, I did understand what Portia was saying, because she was basically like, I didn't want anything serious, but then you started talking like you wanted to do something serious. So I was like, okay, great. Then it's going to be serious. So I started planning things out. And now all of a sudden you're like, don't have a job. Like, you got fired and you're acting like you're taking some time off. No, you got fired.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And he's like, well, you know, sometimes you just need a break. And she's like,
a break.
She had like a Mama Joyce squeal moment. And then she's like, you do not need to chill. Ain't no break, bruh. And she's like,
you're almost 40. You need to be more mature. You ain't some punk shit.
And then she just starts going off and he's like, I got you. I got you. And she goes,
I will be done with you before I be good with your half-assedness.
It's like, that's the biggest word Portia's ever said. Portia did well in this scene. Good job, Portia.
She did. And then Todd basically just like smiled his megawatt smile and like just gives her that look. And then they're just like making out. And I'm just like, he's so dreamy.
Yeah, he really, really is so
He's cute. Really dreamy. Because he's one of those guys who's not just like attractive, but he just, you know, like a charming guy who just knows how to use his sex appeal and just, he's like, sorry. And just sort of gets that smile and that like, sort of that look. And then just like, oh man.
Yeah, they cheat on you every time.
Exactly. Yeah, every
time. Have you ever met a guy like that in a relationship that's not cheating? And if one of you are married, you better start going through his iCloud.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Portia. So now is Candy and Portia.
Yes.
So sorry, I was drinking a coffee and it went down wrong.
The main event. So they meet at they meet for lunch. They're outside, and of course they have like a frosty introduction where Portia's like,
"I'm on a 2-day cleanse,"
and then there's like this long pause, and Candy's like, well, that's good.
Candy gives her that face. She goes, yeah. That's the sound her face is making. One of her eyes is closed. One of her eyebrows is risen all the way to her forehead.
Yeah, just like,
see? Nah. We was on a cleanse together. But
so good. Laugh. It was like a full 30 seconds of Candy just looking at her like that. And she goes, well, that's good. So Portia is like,
oh, it's good to see you. I've been trying to call you.
Candy's like, well, Candy tries to start it nice. She's like, well, I was thrown off the other day because when that lesbian thing came up, you were going so hard. Like,
who that? Who said that?
And then they show the clip again, which is hilarious.
Right. And then Portia does her usual thing. This is the new thing. Be like, well, I can't remember every single thing I've ever said. I actually think that she's not lying in this case, because she did do the who said that so aggressively. Like, why would you even do that? You know, you'd be quiet like Phaedra if you were the one who started the rumor, and you just, I mean, I just,
you just wait. I don't think... but when she said
well, I only intimated that you were a lesbian, I didn't say you were,
whatever she said.
Just saying it was just
shade. I think she really believes that. She's like,
I never said Candy's a lesbian. I just said you like to eat pussies of ladies.
It's like Portia logic, you know?
Yeah, she's like,
I just said you like flannel and moving in with women and having sex with them. And listen to the Indigo Girls and Melissa Etheridge.
She's like,
I can't remember every little conversation, Candy. How would that statement carry weight anyway? How would it carry weight?
I'm like, who's Portia been talking to? Because she's like talking kind of lawyerly lately. Like she's talking outside Apprentice. Of her box. Huh?
She's been on Celebrity Apprentice. Maybe she learned something from Boy George. I don't know. I don't even know who's on that show except for the people who get mentioned on the Real Housewives episode.
She's like,
this is not about our problems. This is about our team coming up with a good flavor of ice cream for poor people.
Okay. So she's like, I can't remember everything, and I don't even know why anyone would take it that way. And Candy's like, well, how else is it supposed to be taken? And she goes,
well, at first I didn't care about how you took it.
And I was like, oh, no. Mm-hmm. Portia's got some nuts on her, because we've seen Portia go up against people before and not back down. But, I mean, Candy's terrifying to me. I would not go up against Candy.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. And what's funny to me is that, you know, I mean, she's being honest. She's saying, well, I was essentially saying I was mad, so I didn't care how you took it. But then Portia does, you know, the classic thing that we've seen in reality shows and politics. When you're caught, you just deflect onto something else. And so Portia's like, well, you know, Candy, you've been telling everyone that Block and I had sex, which has nothing to do with what they're talking about. But so then Candy was like, well, you were the one who told me that you had sex with Block, so I don't see what the big deal is. And then Candy starts talking about how she, like, I guess, so then Portia's trying to turn it around all on Candy, trying to put Candy in the defense. But every single time, it's just like, it's backfiring. The Block thing backfires because Candy's like, no, you told me that you had sex with Block. And then talking about Candy's extracurriculars, and Candy's like, you know, Todd and I have only had a threesome once. And then Portia's like, but don't you have a sex dungeon? I'm like, this is like, I feel like Portia is grasping at straws at this point. Well, and I love Candy's reaction was like, see, now, Riley, if I had a sex dungeon, I would tell everybody because I think it's actually cool.
She goes,
yes, you did. Yes, you did.
She's like, you made that up.
Nah.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. She's like, it's like when you was kissing me in a club and told me you wanted to eat my pussy till I came. And she's like, what? Who wanna eat your pussy? She's like, you did. You tried to tongue me down, bitch. She's like, where she goes,
what about you and that relationship you were in with a woman for 7 years?
And Candy goes, what? Squeals it. And she goes,
you in an uproar with me?
I'm like, what?
Note, by the way, that Portia deflects from this lesbian thing by saying that Candy was in a relationship. She's trying to always, she's always pushing it onto Candy, but Portia's trying to sneak out of it by creating a new rumor.
Yeah, they're trying to fight it. It's like the Dyke Wars of 2017. It's hilarious. Yes. Like, who's gayer? So Candy's like, what are you talking about? And she goes, well, if you don't know, then I'll give you her
info, because she's telling people that I live in Atlanta, Candy.
And Candy's like, I live in Atlanta. She's like, well, I live in Atlanta. She's like, well, I live in Atlanta, too. It's like, okay. And then, is this turning into, like, backyard wars now? It's like, yeah. Stay on.
And then Portia's just going, she just keeps on, like, she's just piling on one claim after another. She's
what saying, about back in the day when you were sleeping with all them R&B groups?
She's like, now, you're going to tell me I was the one? You're the international, no, she's like, you were the one being passed around by every group. Bitch.
Yeah, she goes, bitch, you was a pass around.
Yeah, you was a pass around. You wasn't in all those videos because you was cute.
And that's why, and she said that's how Portia met Block. Because some other rapper friend referred her, not referred, it was basically like, yeah, I banged her. So she's like, see, now you will pass around.
Oh, my God. So she's like, well, Portia goes,
well, maybe you should call Todd and ask him about what he told the girl this weekend. And tell him his name is Marvin, because that's his fake name that he used with girls in New York.
And she's like, what? And now Portia has taken it from who's gayer to, you know, your husband is cheating on you with straight
people. Well, she's just throwing anything at the wall right now. She's just like, you slept around with R&B groups. You've been a lesbian for 7 years. Todd has a secret alias named Marvin, hooking up with a woman in New York. I mean, it's like one thing after another. It's like, you caused the dinosaurs to go extinct. You know where Amelia Earhart is.
You put a hole in the ozone layer, etc., etc. And she goes,
well, it's on the streets. Probably on the same streets Mama Joyce hears things from. So maybe you should clean up the streets. And while you're at it, clean up the blogs.
And she's like,
you, what are you crazy?
She goes,
it's a fact, bitch.
And she goes, well, that's bullshit. But what ain't bullshit is that you said you want to eat my pussy. And she goes,
I ain't into short and stout.
It's like, damn. And she goes,
you better have those chicks you sleeping with sign some NDAs.
Which is another Bravo plot line of the year. Yes. And then Candy's like, girl, another lunch. I don't even get to order. And she walks out. And Portia's like,
well,
toodles, bitch.
Well, I like when Portia was like, did I eat your rot pussy? Hell no. And Candy's like, first of all, this pussy tastes like sugar. See? No.
This fight was so good. I was dying laughing watching it. This show is crazy.
And then we also have to mention that in the middle of this madness, I mean, it was going so fast and furious, I couldn't even follow at a certain point. The producers just cut away to this one woman at the next table being like, what the hell is happening over there? Oh my God. This is the best day to ever come to Grains 2.
Oh my God, this show's so good. And now it's time for a little Crappin's mailbag.
Ronnie, that was one of your best transitions of all time. Just right to the point.
I'm going for simplicity these days, guys, so...
So this has been a really bountiful mailbag. We're still going into the same mailbag that filled up back at like on January 31st. Some of you guys have been so patient. We're gonna get to all these questions. Don't y'all worry. And just as a reminder, if you want to add a question to the mailbag, you just go to Patreon and you just have to subscribe at the mailbag level or higher, and you can have your question read on the air. You could be like Deliza D, who says, we have seen a lot of moms on Vanderpump Rules. I don't think we've seen Kristen's mom. What do you think it would sound like if Kristen and James' mom were to meet? That's an interesting question. First of all, I hope Kristen's mom is alive before we go into this. If she's not, apologies.
I feel like if anybody on a reality show has a dead mom, they say it like 30 times. Like, well, I only did that because my mom died. Like their excuse.
Seriously, I can't believe you didn't know my mom's dead. No, it's terrible. So what would Kristen's mom be like? So basically, if Kristen and James had stayed together and they had had Thanksgiving together and the moms were there, I'm adding onto the fan fiction here. What would the moms be like?
Well, I think that the one mom would be like, why did all three of you go to the Kristen's mom would be like, why did you all three go to the bathroom together? Why are you all sniffing your noses?
And then James's mom would probably be like, well, thank you for inviting us over for dinner. I'm sorry I didn't bring anything. And then Kristen's mom would probably say something like, seriously, it's Thanksgiving. And then her mom would say, well, you're an alcoholic and you deserve to die anyway.
Girl. I'd like to think that James...
Well, your problem is that you can never have children again.
I went through menopause already, so sorry. Seriously.
Well, you can't go back in a time machine, okay? That's the bad news for you.
Well, just get a hysterectomy, just in case. You can never be too sure, can you, girl?
She just spits on the turkey.
I hate this turkey, you stupid pudgy motherface.
Take a good look at these Hawaiian rolls. It's the last time you're going to see them, girl. It's the best you'll ever get. Girl.
Those two mothers should be taken to some kind of court.
Yes.
And be stripped of their duties. Know that James's mom is terrible. We don't know that Kristen's mom is terrible. We do know that Kristen cannot stick to her dream of a t-shirt printing business. I don't know if you blame your mother for that or who gets the blame for that, but I'm upset about it.
Chris's mom may not be that bad because she's the only one who's had sense to not show up on this show.
I would show up on that show, but there's too many Mercedes in Los Angeles and I can't help but
See, you get ravished on one. Oh, Kristen.
Seriously, I can't show up on your show because I'm modeling in Michigan right now.
I can't believe I have a daughter who would make love to somebody on top of a car in a parking lot. Oh.
I just imagine her grandmother's probably like, dearie, seriously, dearie.
She's on life support. Beep, beep. Seriously, beep.
Beep. Her heartbeat just sounds like seriously.
Seriously.
Who seriously? Does that?
Seriously.
She's flatlining. She's not questioning me. She's not questioning how serious I am. Okay. Oh my God. She said okay, not seriously.
How serious was the heart attack, doctor? Pretty serious. Seriously.
Was she in critical condition or just in serious condition? Critical. Seriously?
Good.
Critically?
What else is in there? Everyone, I had my Starbucks reward right before this podcast, and it was a venti frappuccino Java chip situation, and I am like sky high right now. Okay, Lauren Kapp says, I know we all get inspired in the kitchen when Top Chef comes back on, and this season has me considering my TV food roots. Now that the Food Channel has pretty much gone to hell, it makes me yearn for the days of Great Chefs and Great Chefs International. I know you guys are both handy in the kitchen, and I'm wondering what your favorite OG cooking shows were that perhaps helped shape your home cooking. Also, who are your bets for the season? I'm hoping Shirley all the way. Now, personally, I don't know about Great Chefs and Great Chefs International. I hope that's like House Hunters. Really, I learned to cook actually with the Food Network. So for me, my OG chefs, even though I was aware of like Graham Kerr and like Julia Child, it was Giada De Laurentiis and Ina Garten who got me up and going.
Oh, the simplicity. Especially with that Giada. I mean, that bitch will just be like, look, I grilled a salmon. Yum.
Yeah.
She makes me kind of crazy with that. Well, my mom's a chef, so she tried to teach me how to cook.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I was like, I'm not going to learn how to cook from you. Ugh, cooking stupid. Because I was like rebelling against everything, really.
Yeah.
So I didn't learn that much from her back in the day just because I refused to. Not that she didn't try. I mean, she would put me in Weight Watchers and then teach me how to make homemade blue cheese dressing, which is like horribly disgusting and amazing tasting.
Uh-huh.
But I, our cleaning lady growing up.
Rochelle.
Our Raquel, if you will.
Raquel,
was,
sorry.
Oh no, you're just a visitor in the bachelor world now.
I know.
Okay, it's okay.
I feel like everyone should be okay. Good.
Yeah, everyone should be impressed because that's a lot. That's a whole other world to venture into. The Bachelor.
I just asked people to be impressed for me. This is sad. Go on.
Well, you did stop yourself. I just made that finish.
you pried it out anyway. You're like, I heard what you said, Ben, and I'm going to continue your statement.
My Raquel, whose name was Romana. Not to be confused with Ramona, my meemaw, and also Ramona Singer.
Or Romaine Zago.
Yeah, so much numerology. Ramona used to watch Julia Child.
Yeah.
And I never got it because Julia Child was always making crazy shit. I mean, at least growing up in a border town, it was crazy shit. It's like, oh, French pauvre. It was like, what? And then Ramona would never make that, of course. She'd throw a tortilla on the stove and be like, here. But then as an adult, I didn't really care until I was probably in my late 20s. And that's when I started. And I really, and I've said it a million times, so I hate repeating myself. LOL. But I love Anne Burrell. I love her.
Yes.
She is really on so many shitty cooking shows because.
It's a shame.
I read that the Food Network or Cooking Channel, whatever it is, the Food Network, they put them on these contracts where they have to do they basically are full-time workers. So they don't only have to just show up and do their show. They have to do whatever they're told, you know? And so Anne Burrell is like a judge on everything. And she comes on everything looking exhausted because she is.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, it's 5 a.m. You're going to guest judge on this crappy show where they're making crab, pickle, olive, and like, you know, poop.
Lasagna.
That's the challenge. And she's like, ugh. But if you only know her from those shows, you would think she's the worst. But if you know her from her show, Secrets of a Restaurant Chef,
she is
so good. And she really fakes a good personality. She's like, I love you, little dumplings. You know, like she talks to her food and gives it love.
Yeah, before they go into the oven and they die.
Yeah, and she teaches you amazing things.
She does. She really, so in terms of my formative Food Network teachers. When I got really into cooking, it was about 2005. I've probably told the story about 5 different times in this podcast, you know, over the years. But, you know, I was unemployed, and previously I would, in terms of like cooking or groceries, what would happen was that Joe and I started TV Gas, and we were also roommates. We would go to Costco, and we'd probably go there every 2 or 3 weeks, maybe once. I don't remember what it was, but we just like go and buy all like the French bread pizzas, the hot pockets, the hot dogs, all that shit.
Yeah.
And aside from the fact that it's all terrible for you, what happens is we would spend like the next few weeks just eating our way through it. And when it was done, you'd go back to Costco. And I started to realize it was not cost efficient. As much as Costco is cost efficient for certain things, like, you know, spending all that money on French bread pizzas I was like, I need to start making my dollar go farther. I need to start cooking a pasta. Cause you know, when you're running out of money, pasta is what you go to. Right.
Right.
So, I was like, I don't know how to do this at all. I was like, I will turn on the Food Network. And I turned it on. Jada was on. I had no idea who she was. And she happened to be doing an episode on cooking Italian for beginners. And I was like, here's a pasta dish you can make. And I was like, huh. And I made it that night. And it has stayed in my repertoire all these years. But that got me on the path. And then so I would watch her show because I was like, this is something that I can do. And then Ina would always come on afterwards. And at first I was like, who is this awkward lady who comes on after Jada? But then I got hooked into Ina, and then I never looked back. And then, of course, everyone knows I love Ina. You love Ina, too. And then in terms of other chefs that were on at that time, there was this weird lady named Robin something who had this show called like Quick Ingredient Fix. And I actually just referred back to one of her recipes yesterday. But she wasn't the best, but I would sort of use her. And then when Anne Burrell came along, I'm with you. Her show is awesome. And yeah, I hear her cookbook really is good. Awesome, too.
I mean, she just has really good food, and she makes it easy enough to follow. And she gives you good advice, like keep a big mixing bowl on the counter and use that as your trash can. So you're not
– Yes. You know, although Rachel Ray does that, too. Rachel Ray has her trash bowl, to be fair.
It's like simple things, like cook a – you know, how to chop an onion better and easily.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Like if you don't know how to cook, you can learn from that level. And then if you do know how to cook, you just ignore all that stuff. And the recipes aren't the simplest, but they're not hard.
But they're
either,
not hard.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. They're interesting. I also used to enjoy Tyler Florence, even though I think he's really cocky. I liked his recipes. And honestly, I mean, I don't really like Rachel Ray, and I don't really like 30-minute meals, but every now and then she would have something on there that was perfectly fine for a weeknight. And, you know, so, but the thing is, compared to what's on now, I mean, I can't.
I know. Yeah. Comparatively. All right. What's up? What else is in that mail bag?
Okay. Allison Jenick. I hope I said your name correctly, Allison. She says, I don't think this has been asked yet, but what one season wonder would you want to revive for a second go around? Personally, I would love to see another season of Gallery Girls or Princesses Long Island. Well, I think both of those 100% would get seal of approval. It's funny that you mentioned that because on Saturday when I was supposed to be working on my writing and I was procrastinating, I kept on posting things from Gallery Girls on our Instagram page. I don't know if you saw that, Ronnie.
Yeah. It looks like it was so long ago. It wasn't that long ago, was it?
It was like 2011, 2012.
Those look like 5 classic years. Clips.
I know. I think I might actually buy the season. I just realized. I was like, this show is so good. I may buy it on iTunes.
My favorite that I think, I mean, those, I love both of those, and especially
they almost
Princesses.
Don't even get...
I can't believe that got canceled. I'd love that one. I think mine would be Platinum Hit because Platinum Hit was actually really good. And it was the first show that it was their first Project Runway ripoff that actually I thought was good. And the people on it were talented, and you kind of would learn something. I'm surprised they didn't give that another chance. And I blame Cara DeLaGuardia.
Yeah, the thing is, I like Cara DeLaGuardia. I liked her on American Idol, and I liked her on this show, but people really hated her, and I think Bravo thought that she'd have more appeal than she did.
She's
and
truly actually, an asshole. She was on Watch What Happens when that show was coming out, and he's like, hey, Cara DeLaGuardia, let's play Boobs on a Donkey. And she was like, I'm just here to promote my show.
Yeah,
and he's like, well, who's your favorite housewife? She's like, I don't watch this shit.
And yet we really should be applauding her for being like that.
But she wasn't doing it in a fabulous way. She was just an asshole. Like, you knew what you were showing up for, you know?
I remember on American Idol, on her season, one of her seasons, there was a girl who showed up like in a bikini and she was like, ugh. And then like during the finale, they brought the girl back and then Kara showed up behind her and took off her top and was like, look at my body.
Yes.
I was like, this is sad.
Yeah. She's like the neediest ever.
But you know what's funny? I just remembered during my procrastination on Saturday, I thought to myself, you know, it'd be fun. Why don't I make a list of the one-hit wonders or brilliant but canceled shows that Bravo should bring back? And so I'll show you my little list that I made. For no reason. I made a list for no reason. I'll go through quickly because, you know. So I said at number 10, Chef Academy. Do you remember that show?
No.
That was where there was this French chef who had like a cooking classes in Venice. And people came and they learned to cook. And they had tests. And if they failed 3 tests in a row, they were kicked off the show. And in the end, you don't win anything. You just graduate. It was so good. It was such a good show. Such great casting. I loved it. Number 9, I said Platinum. Platinum hit.
No.
Number 8, I said Euros of Hollywood, which was also really hilarious.
Yeah, I still see those guys around town.
Yeah, every time I drive by Yannick's jewelry store, Niala, I think of him.
Yannick, Yannick is spending a little too much time in the tannery. I didn't even know you could get a dark brown spray tan.
Well, you know what's funny? A tannery is a place where you cure leather hides.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Oh, okay. I wanted to make sure you...
that's what he's starting to look like, girl.
Yeah. This one was not a one-hit wonder, but it had 2 seasons. But it still was really good, and I think it should come back. Blood, Sweat, and Heels, which always makes me sad because of poor Daisy on that show who passed away. Number 6, I said Million Dollar Decorators. I loved that show. With Marlowe's Blard.
I know, me too. I'm sad that didn't come back too.
They had, they had 4 cast members. One guy was a dud, but the rest were just absolutely amazing. Catherine Ireland. And then what was that crazy lady's name who was apparently the inspiration behind one of the Will and Grace characters?
Yeah, she talks like this.
Yeah.
I forgot pretty much all their names except Martin Lawrence Blard.
But along that same line, here's a show that's so forgotten about that Bravo doesn't even have it on their website, and they have a lot of their old shows on there. Top Design. Season 1 was not great, but season 2, when they brought in India Hicks, was so good.
You know, Top Design actually was a really good show, and that was another good Project Runway ripoff. It was a really good show. I wonder what happened to that. I think that was probably just too hard to make.
I think it was probably very expensive. Because I remember the first season, they didn't have much of a budget. So everything was like in the Pacific Design Center and they were just building things out. And they had that awful tagline where Jonathan Adler would say, see you later, decorator.
See you later, decorator.
But then when they went to the India Hicks season, they revived it to, we simply don't get your design. You're going home. Just like this like devastating goodbye.
And who is
you're
that?
You're an awful
chick?
Person. Goodbye.
Who is that judge on there that was always dressed really crazy? That lady judge?
Kelly Wurstler.
Yes. And she was kind of like Rachel Zoe. She'd be like, yeah. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
By the way, I did not put Rachel Zoe on this. Well, first of all, she wasn't a one-hit wonder, but also that one ran its course.
When you put a carpet perpendicular in a living room, that's amazing.
There's also a woman on the India Hicks season whose husband was Ricky Schroeder, and she's like, I don't want people to know that my husband's Ricky Schroeder. She made like a whole thing as if she was like married to Brad Pitt. She's like, well, I think today is the day I'm finally going to let people know my husband is Ricky Schroeder.
Every really... design is spoon-based. No one cares.
They're like, look at how – this is a lovely couch. It must be brand new. It's actually surprisingly like 20 years older than you would think, but it just still looks very brand new.
What a beautiful blanket. I mean, Schroeder would even carry that. Oh, oh no, Linus was the one with the blanket. Yeah. Never mind. What did Schroeder do on the
Peanuts? He played a piano.
Oh, yeah.
I just imagine her just always including like a little train that you could ride in every design. Well, here in the kitchen, I thought this would be a great place for a small train to come through that the kids can hop on.
This not design is so fancy. It's like there was a silver spoon born in their mouth. Like, they're going to give me away.
So number 4, I put Secrets and Wives. Jonathan! Paralyzed! They all speak like that.
You know,
Corey Goldfarb... you know, we follow each other on Instagram, and she likes everything we put up. She is really into it.
I love her. And I like everything she puts up. It's all like, come get your face did. that show, I think, suffered from the curse of not being named Housewives, because it was another Housewives show. And I think they were, even though it didn't take place in Jersey, right? Where was it?
It's like, it was Long Island.
It was Long Island. The Real Housewives of Long Island. Paralyzed! They really missed an opportunity by not renewing that. And I feel like anything that's not named Housewives, they just don't care about.
I also think with those women, I think to people who maybe don't know or understand Long Island, it was a little boring. Because the fights were never really that over the top. It was just like these simmering tensions at times. But if you know Long Island women, if you've been on Long Island, it's like the best thing ever, because it just sort of captures Long Island. But I think for a lot of people, it just probably didn't speak to them. They needed to be more over the top, which is too bad.
Paralyzed.
So obviously my number one was Gallagher Girls. Number two is Princesses Long Island. But number three, can you guess what my third place one was, which could have been number one if one and two weren't already so amazing?
It's another Academy show.
No.
What is it?
Game of Crowns.
Oh my God. Another one. Another one I'm shocked didn't come back. I mean, that one was a little TLC for Bravo, but
it was very TLC. But that one is actually, I would say that's probably of all these shows, the most overlooked, because Gallery Girls and Princesses Long Island still get love online. People, they sort of have like a cult following. Even among our listeners, people still reference them. And even amongst ourselves, we rarely mention Game of Crowns, because I don't think we ever had a really strong running joke that came out of it. But that show was so beyond excellent. Like it was so, I mean, I guess we have LOL who's laughing now, but
that show was amazing. That lady threw her own beauty pageant at her Indian casino so that she could win. I mean, that shit is just gold.
Lynn Diamante had the portraits that she had of herself up in her house, and how she started a rumor that one of the husbands wanted to murder her. I mean, I really.
But then remember, they showed the husbands, and they were all like mob guys. I mean, that show was so good.
Except for Lynn Diamante's husband, who was like an optometrist, like a Suddenly Seymour type. It was.
Yeah, that show was a classic.
People need to get woke to that show.
Get woke. All right, well, let's close that mailbag up, Ben. Okay, let's move on to Married to Medicine Reunion Part 1.
Yes, queen.
We open with the pregame, where Andy's going to everybody's dressing room. Hi, 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 hi. He does the same thing he does in the reunion chair, but walking around.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, Toya, is your husband here? And she's like, yeah, his name is Darren. His name ain't Darren. He's here.
Yeah. Damn. What I should have did was have Darren come with Eugene. That way all the husbands will be here together, because Darren never shows up. You know what I'm saying, Andy?
Andy was totally stoned. He had pink eyes. He looked like they just like scraped him off the floor of some gay bar and brought him in here. His hair was all messy.
He probably doesn't realize he's not in the gay bar anymore. He's like, oh, the drag show's starting.
Hey, they brought the tablecloth from the gay bar. It's Toya's dress. So Toya's storyline is going bankrupt and all this stuff and having to live within her means in an $8,000 a month house. And then she shows up to the reunion in a wedding train.
Yes. It's like she went to a fancy dinner that was on one of those tables that goes on for a mile, and she took the tablecloth and wrapped it around herself and just walked off. And whatever was attached to it is coming with her. Forks, spoons, anything glittery, candlesticks. That's what she was wearing.
Fucking Toya. You want to just do the main points of this?
Yeah, let's just do the main points, because, you know, I feel like this reunion was mainly just about really shady comments they were making to each other. I mean, the thing, what was funny was at the start of the episode, there was talk that Heavenly and Mariah were wearing the same earrings and shoes, and I had no idea that was going to come back at the end of the episode and be such an explosive topic.
I know, they're wearing the same fake rhinestone shoes and earrings from Claire's. Mariah's like, I'm going to burn mine. Popeye eye, Popeye eye, neck twitch, head twitch.
Yeah.
Mariah did. Mariah was classic Mariah. Well, yes. She mixed classic with like old Coke, whatever you call it. But classic with new Coke. She
Coke two, Coke. She was Coke one and a half.
In the dressing room, she was, you know, a pit bull. She's like, oh, no one's going to treat Mariah like that. You know, Popeye eye. But then she gets out there and she's trying to do like the personality recovery tour of 2017. You know, she's acting like she's so nice and she's such a victim. Yeah. And that's so Mariah. Her bark is always bigger than her bite. And I'm starting to understand her kind of, because she's like, I don't understand why these ladies are so mean to me. I've been so nice. But, you know, then, of course, in the talking heads, she's just horrible. And she's not just horrible in a fun way. She's like, they are broke, and that woman had an affair with a milkman. It's like, whoa. You know, she brings up this horrible stuff.
And, honey child, when I talk about a milkman, I'm not talking about this Mr. Dairy Queen, although I will keep the queen pot in that sentence, if you will, sir.
Totally. So she was kind of classic victim Mariah, but acting like she's such a bitch. And they showed her in the dressing room later. The whole thing was about the shoes and the earrings to me.
Yeah, for her,
She's like, I'm burning those, and I will go barefoot. I will be in my birthday bathing suit shoes. Blah, blah, blah. I will burn those. And so she comes out with no shoes and earrings. Like, oh,
yeah, and then Andy's like, Mariah, what happened to your shoes and your earrings? She's like, is a great designer, but for me, not good today. And then Heaven's like, I work better anyway. And then that totally set Mariah off. So then they start like fighting. Like, it's like it just goes from like 0 to 100. And I just love, Mariah's like, well, I don't got a license, child. So I got, and then Heavenly's like, oh, that's right. You ain't got shit to lose, but you're welcome to come to my office and clean up. And she's like, well, your office is messy. It's a big old messy office. And then all of a sudden just comes, it's going so fast. I was trying to write it down. I was like, I can't write this down. I'm just going to see what I can catch with my my little net.
Because it was like a typical Married to Medicine fight where they're not even saying anything. So Mariah's just like, well, I hear your office is dirty. Dirty? That's not nice. Like your mouth. Well, at least my mouth moves. Well, you want to talk about moving? What about a U-Haul truck? And it's like, what are you even fighting about?
The truck right now. You're a truck with four-wheel drive.
I may have four-wheel drive, but at least I don't have to go on automatic. I can drive my own thing, my own stick. Shit.
Well, you got a stick up on your ass.
Oh, yeah. Well, my stick, at least my stick is like a yard stick, not a metric stick. Why don't you get into the American system of yards?
You're like, what? What's happening here? I did like that when Moran's like,
that was very
like
word association. It was very word association.
It was. I was like, can I do this? Can I do this right now? I don't know if I can do it. But I like when Mariah was like, I look like a bullfrog and you always smell like one too. And you're a messiest bitch on the stage. And Heavenly's response was, you are the only person here, Daddy, who says she's under 40 and looks like she's over 50.
Yeah, those two were hilarious, but it's like, at least make this about something. You've got so many real things to fight over. Why are we fighting over U-Hauls and grilled steak? Like, at some point, I was like, is this really about ketchup versus mayonnaise with your French fries?
Probably.
So one of the main parts of this part one is Lisa Nicole. Because, Lisa Nicole, I don't even see really what Lisa Nicole did. Okay, last season, of course, she got nasty because, you know, she went into that strip club and was like, here's a business card to empower yourself. And then they all knew her husband's name and stuff.
Like, is this Vistaprint? I mean, we're strippers and we do better than Vistaprint.
Yes, and that was funny when Heavenly wasn't, because she kept trying to be a victim, and Mariah was like the victim defending the other victim.
And yeah, that was Mariah's role this episode.
Yeah, and Quad was like, don't you remember last year, honey, when your husband walked into the strip bar and everyone knew his name, girl? And, you know, and then she was like, why are you being friends with her when she called you a lesbian? Yes, she did, honey. And I'm like, why are you bringing that up again? Because it's calling you a lesbian too, stupid.
Well, she was trying to get Mariah off of Lisa Nicole's side.
Yes, Mariah was like, why are you going back there?
Oh, sorry, I just did like an Erica Jane.
You did a Toya Jane.
It's not my show. I don't give a fuck.
I'll go a fuck, Eugene.
Sorry, go on.
So she was basically giving her shit for being friends with her after last season. She was telling everybody that they had a lesbian affair. And I thought that was good to remind us that Real Housewives of Atlanta was not the first lesbian fight, because I totally forgot about the lesbian affair fight from Married to Medicine.
Well, last season was so bonkers that that whole lesbian rumor, it went away very quickly. In fact, it almost got brushed under the rug. It became a fight about the fact that there was glass thrown and not about the lesbian rumors. In fact, the lesbian rumors were never really addressed, I feel like, as far as I can remember, maybe in one of the reunions. I feel like maybe this reunion was the first time they – I won't say that because I'm sure they talked about it last year. But they never – I feel like they never out and out denied it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think they did. I mean, well, and tonight, how they deny they everything. They're not known for their clarity. But, yeah. I mean, that whole thing last year was hilarious because it all happened off camera, and it was in some steakhouse. And Quad walked up to Mariah to say hi, and Mariah gave her attitude. And then they got in a big lesbian fight, and then it was over. And we never knew what happened in that goddamn sizzler, but...
Yeah, too much, and it still bothers me. I feel like that has been some of the downfall of this show. Although the show is still very funny, I feel like too much drama has stemmed from this one dinner at STK that we never saw. And it's like, it's hard to like care that much from at this murky dinner, you know, where these two people stop being friends.
Yeah. Well, everybody hates Lisa Nicole, and I don't understand really all that much she did, because that was all last season. This season, they were already on her ass just when she was saying, I want to have a baby. And so that was the whole fight in the beginning, was her, you know, wanting to have a baby and nobody being supportive and bashing Lisa Nicole.
Yeah, well, I mean, Lisa Nicole was trying to play the victim here. You know, she's like, well, after the show, I had a blood clot, which means that it's a higher risk pregnancy, but I still want to have a baby, not because it's going to fix the marriage, but most marriages are fixed by babies.
And you're like, what?
I don't think this will fix everything with Darren. It's just that it will fix everything with Darren.
Okay. Thanks for
coming. They're like, Lisa, we were just telling you that it seems like it's not necessary.
That's an attack!
I feel bad for my neighbors, by the way. They're like, what bird is dying in that apartment? But
Heavenly,
yeah, Lisa Nicole,
yeah, Heavenly's like, you even said you wanted to have a baby for attention. And her husband would support her. She's like, I did not say that. And then they show her saying just that. And she's like,
well, all I'm trying to say is that we bond when I'm pregnant. He rubs my stomach. Pregnant women turn men on. What's wrong with that?
I'm like, besides fucking your baby in the face? I mean, how deep do you want to go, Lisa Nicole?
Here's what's wrong with that, Lisa Nicole, is that it's a high-risk pregnancy. You could die. And you were like, and you have kids, okay, and you are putting your desire to have that warm, special feeling for about 9 months ahead of your kid's life, like their life potentially without a mother. That's what's wrong with it. And on top of that, it's also just ridiculous because you guys obviously have issues in your marriage, and a baby is not going to fix that. And as much as Lisa Nicole saying, yeah, I'm not trying to fix it, you are trying to fix it. You are a bitch.
And he's time where he's going to leave. I mean, he's like at that point where he's at that age where he's like, oh, shit, this is the end of my hotness. I better go fuck as many people as I can, get that money out of the bank account, and buy me a sports car. Like, that's like the way of the man. And it doesn't matter if you have a baby at home. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about the ones you have there now while he's out doing whatever the hell he's doing.
Exactly. And so Lisa Nicole is trying to be the better person. She's like, I have no beefs with any of the women here. And they're like, you have beefs with all of us and you're acting all innocent. And Simone is the one who's like, you always say that when they go low, you go high, but you're always rolling around in the dirt, Lisa Nicole. And she's like,
I don't know what dirt is. And if I did have dirt, I would let Darren wash it off of me. He loves to give me baths when I'm pregnant.
I love that Heavenly, I thought, had a good point. She's like, listen to yourself. You're blaming everything on everybody else. The hoes at the strip club know his name. But she's lashing out at me and Toya, but not her own damn husband who's introducing himself to all these hoes. Like, that's true.
First of all, I think it's really wonderful that Darren wants to help out in the garden with a hoe. It's called making an effort, Heavenly.
when she was, say, Lisa Nicole starts crying and she's like,
Heavenly, I did feel like we were developing a friendship. We traveled. I introduced you into the inner circle.
It's like, oh, God. You can't call Heavenly a loser with nothing and then say you're the one who gave her everything.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like,
and what inner circle? What inner circle does Lisa Nicole have access to? Is she talking about like the inner circle of Target? The inner circle, the inner part of the bullseye?
The only solid circle within Target. And you completely destroyed me.
She said, and I don't like Toya because Toya is a liar. And Toya's like,
I'm the most honest bitch you'll ever be.
Yeah. I love when Toya talks about Dr. Darren and she's like,
no, I did feel really bad about calling him gay because I never actually saw him in a gay act.
I'm like, oh, that's really that's quite the apology right there.
I cannot say that that man is gay just because he constantly smells like bad ass.
What I should have did was follow him down to the gay sex baths and taken a picture of him and then show it to Eugene and then he could have blown it up and brought everyone with his Nomad MD ambulance.
So then they got into the gay fight and Toya was like,
I did see him in the act, but we had a man on the show saying that he did it and he even said that Darren got a birthmark on his butt.
And then Lisa Nicole's like,
well, that proves it because he doesn't.
And then Simone goes, oh, yeah, yeah, it wasn't on his butt. It was on the left side of his penis.
Yeah, it was Quad who said that. And she gets it, like, all official as if she's like a forensic scientist. Well, what had transpired was that the birthmark was on the left genitalia. And I had known this because I asked the genitalia, what can you bring to this company?
It was a millimeter of a quadricento away from the shaft of the areola, honey.
Honey. That mole is like a palm tree growing at McDonald's. Lots of fries and stickities for everyone.
Stickities. So then the denial kind of goes down. But then Lisa Nicole's like,
well, he doesn't have one there either.
And I was like, oop, lie meter. Because she wasn't saying that last year. Last year she was like,
my husband's penis is my business.
Literally, so, I'm a businesswoman, and Darren's penis is one of my businesses. Teach
it's
me.
An attack.
I have actually tried to bring him to my seminar. Teach me how to grow and become hard, and it just doesn't work with him anymore.
His penis was fine until you started talking about it, and then it was attacked by a mole on the left side.
And now Kiefer Sutherland doesn't know who to trust because there's so many moles.
Then Andy was like, well, you know, he wasn't around much, but then on the other hand, he was called gay all season and everyone attacked him. Why would he want to come on the show? Now he did come on the show. He didn't go to group events, but he did come to the home scenes, and he was always denying that he could remember where he was 5 minutes before. And telling all kinds of lies and obviously cheating.
Yeah.
So what's the discussion here? Like, why does it need to be a huge discussion? I do like that Lisa Nicole at least tells him off next week.
Yeah.
Too. That should be good.
Yeah, that'll be really good. I enjoyed Toya's moment on the reunion when they were asking her about her finances and stuff. Because first of all, Toya made me laugh pretty early on when she said, regarding the group of people, she's like, well, I really like being around educated black men and women. And I was like, well, you know, it doesn't work by osmosis, right?
What are you talking about? I'm a conductor. I'm on a train.
But then later on, when she was talking about like, the tax stuff and not having money and, or being in debt and they start off with not a lot of money. She goes, we came to Atlanta with an education. I was like, you realize you just said that wrong.
With a education.
That's so Toya. That's so Toya.
That's so Toya. But I love Toya. I used to hate Toya. I love Toya.
Yeah, Toya's been hilarious this year. They had a commercial break, and when they came back, they're like, Quad, we need you on set. Quad. And then the doors swing open, and Quad comes out with all these, like, like all of her group or whatever.
Yes, she comes out through like the set. She like literally pushes the set door open.
Yeah, and Andy's like, what were you doing? Were you in the library? She's like, I was in the library, honey. Like, okay, Quad just took a Coke break with her fucking friends in the set, in the back of the set. Classy Quad.
Yeah.
What else happened in this?
So I liked also Andy Cohen actually made me really laugh out loud. Because in the beginning of the episode, he was talking to Dr. Jackie and Dr. Simone. He's like, so what's the craziest things you guys have had to do? What's the craziest thing? And Dr. Jackie's like, well, one time I had to remove a glass vase out of a vagina. And I had to get a male MD with bigger hands because of all the suction. And then Andy turns to Quad and goes, Quad, are you still in pain from that? And she's like, oh, Andy Cohen, don't you dare die, Andy Cohen.
You a shady lady, honey.
That was actually really funny. I give Andy Cohen big props to that. Also, Janice came out. It was like, everyone, Janice. And Janice is like, well, I have 6 kids and 4 dogs. Thanks, Janice. Thanks for coming by.
Then they get to, they go back. They keep going back to Toria's money, which is hilarious. That was like one of the running threads. He's like, so everybody enjoy balloons? Okay, now, Toya, you're broke. So she's like, so Toria goes off on this whole thing. Where,
well, I'm supportive of the family, too. Let's not pretend we don't get checks for this show. So I pay, too. And believe me, believe you me, Toya was signing over a checks with her names on it.
And then Lisa Nicole is sitting there smirking during the broke montage. She's like,
gross.
Like making all these nasty faces during the broke montage. And then Andy's like, so Lisa Nicole, you tweeted that Toya has a broke mentality problem. And she's like,
well, I don't really like to live beyond my means.
And he goes, well, don't you have a tax problem? And she goes,
well, we did.
And she goes, do a did. Toya,
do a did.
And she goes,
well, we have a payment plan like you.
So you do. This is why no one likes you, because you a fake bitch. Exactly. You know, you're sitting there smirking at somebody else while you still have it. And it was like for the same amount, too.
Yeah, and don't talk about living – you don't like to live beyond your means when you're trying to push your reproductive system to the breaking point, okay, lady? Like, your body is trying to give you so many warning signs. Do not put another baby in me. So don't talk about living beyond your means, because you're not – because you want to live beyond your means biologically. good. I got that singer
biologically.
I also thought it was funny when Heavenly was apologizing to Janice. Heavenly was like, Janice, I'm sorry. I'm really dead here. I'm sorry. I never should have. I heard his wife passed away. And Janice, I am really sorry. I apologize. I apologize with my heart. Like, if it takes 3 minutes to make you feel that way, I want 3 minutes to inspire you. But I can't do that. Like, darling, please. Ever. And Janice is like, okay, relax. It's fine. It's fine.
Oh, God, Heavenly. She's like, I thought it was a misunderstanding because the husband was so nice and it was baffling to me that a husband had the custody of his children. Like, the wife died. And she's like, I feel so bad. That's when she went on her sorry 30 times. Oh, my God. That was so embarrassing and also hilarious.
And it's also hilarious that she went above and beyond to apologize to Janice. Like, would not say anything remotely close to an apology towards Lisa Nicole. Not that Lisa Nicole deserved one. But you could see every time that she apologized to Janice, Lisa Nicole is like,
and what about me?
First of all, this poor Janice. She joins the cast. She has one good fight right at the start. Yeah, and then nothing. They never show her again. No one even knows her. Andy's like, so Janice is joining us here on the couch. So Janice, how'd you meet your husband? And they're like, whoa, everybody's shocked. Like, they'd never even heard that simple story. She's like, well, my husband was the coach of my son's baseball team.
Oh, never mind. You a hoe. No sex with the coach of a baseball team.
But they were like, wow. She goes, and I have 6 kids and 4 dogs. And everyone's like, whoa, 6 kids and 4 dogs? Like, you guys can at least make an effort to get to know Janice. My God.
I also liked towards the end of the episode, there was an Ask Heavenly segment. And they're like, Heavenly, what would you say to Quad? What advice do you give Quad? And she's like, Quad, you need kids. They're just so beautiful. Daddy.
Daddy.
I just said Quad's like,
Yeah, she kind of went a rant. I'm trying to just look through these notes to make sure I don't miss anything.
There was something with Heavenly and drinking where I sort of like missed it. I got distracted by something and I didn't bother going back. But all I know is that the Heavenly drinking thing came up, and then all of a sudden the music got dramatic and Andy Cohen did one of his sensitive "We'll be right back." He's like, "We'll be right back."
Oh, yeah. Well, she's like, "You can't just say that about somebody. I got a license, Lisa Nicole." And Lisa Nicole says,
"Well."
And remember that in Hawaii, Lisa Nicole sobbing said,
"I don't think you have a drinking problem. I was just being mean."
So she's thrown that out the window. And she's like, Quad's like, "Well, Lisa Nicole said Heavenly had an alcoholic drinking problem." Fucking Quad. Said that she drank a bottle of Crown every 2 hours or something. And she's like, "A whole bottle, Lisa Nicole. A whole bottle, really." And Lisa Nicole says,
"Well, your drinking is excessive. And you have to go through the steps of the cage questions. C, are you concerned and offensive when someone confronts you? A, are you annoyed when someone accuses you?"
I'm like, you're basically describing all of you after every single question here.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's an alcoholic if that's how you're going to do it. Listen, did you take out any of the wrong teeth? Did you let somebody choke on their own, you know, plaque? Or did you, you know, like, fall down at work? Like, did you throw up at somebody in a dental chair? That's when you know you're an alcoholic, Heavenly. Otherwise, fuck this bitch. The cage system.
Yeah. Shut up. But of course, it doesn't help that Heavenly always sounds like she's about to burp up a beer bubble. That's how she burps.
Oh, God. So, let's see. They don't really give Mariah too much shit. She's just calling everyone a bully. Yes. And she's like, "Well, someone asked a question. They said, you were bullied as a child, but, you know, you can't keep blaming your childhood." And I think they were talking to Heavenly, right? And then they show Heavenly, who looks just like Laura, but, you know, less well-kept. And they showed her, and she's like, "Well, I have a thing where if people are mean to me, I'll say something bad about the mama." And Mariah's like, "Yeah, well, now you're bullying people. And maybe you're not doing it to their face, but you're doing it behind their backs." And Quad's like, "I'll say it to your face, honey." You guys cannot even stay on one thing for 2 seconds.
I know. Ew, yeah. Well, it was definitely a very funny reunion, even if they didn't get to anything deeper or more interesting. They were so shady to each other.
Heavenly is just hilarious, because this ends with Mariah trying to act like she's standing up for the little guy, and Heavenly goes, "What you talking about, Mariah? You called Quad homeless. Homeless! You said she was homeless! And you were the first person to say Lisa Nicole's husband was gay, too!" And then they show the clip of it, and Mariah's just like, Papa, I.
Heavenly's like, "Your mama? I'm so sorry. I apologize. I should not have said that. You know what else I should have said? Your mama. Oh, I'm sorry again. I keep saying I'm your mama. Oh, I said it again, Andy."
Yeah, and that's when Mariah's like, "Well, you looking like a damn bullfrog. That's why I don't F with you." I was like, oh, God, Mariah. Good one, Mariah. Ribbit. Good comeback.
Ribbit.
So that brings us to the end of our Thursday, everybody.
What day is it anymore?
No,
it's our Thursday episode. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
What fun. We will see you next time, everybody.
Oh,
bye.
And tomorrow, our episode, we have our special crossover episode with Kate Casey, where we're going to talk about Summer House, but we're also going to get into some Bachelor, and also we're going to talk a lot about Southern Charm to get us ready for the next season. So, super fun episode. Stay tuned.
Yeah. We will see you there.
Bye.
Bye.